So 2018, September 2018, Christmas of 2018, the next Narnia will be released.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Talking Beasts, a NarniaWeb.com podcast. I am Glumpuddle.
I'm Melton Talley. I am the moderator in costumes and Narnia merchandise.
I'm Daughter of the King, also known as Dot, and I'm one of the moderators for the general movie discussion.
And I'm a news poster, so I have a role on the site as well. I'm not just some guy that wandered in while they were recording. But it was a really kind of awkward time to have some actual legitimate news. I'm sure there are a few people that are still wondering if maybe this isn't real. First off, really quick, a brief note on the podcast. Yeah, we have an actual title. We're not just the Narnia Web podcast anymore. We are now Talking Beasts. And that's the first new development. The second one is that we are committing to releasing a new episode every 2 weeks. So look, check back here again on April 17th. That's a Monday, and we'll have a new episode. So yeah, really looking forward to releasing these with a lot more frequency. Okay, so well, we're here because we got some actual news. It started when William Moseley said with a lot of confidence that the Silver Chair movie was going to film this autumn and then would release a year later. And he just said it with such confidence. In fact, let's listen to that right now.
The Silver Chair. That starts filming in autumn of this year and will come out 1 year later. So 2018, September 2018, Christmas of 2018, the next Narnia will be released.
So let me start with you, Mel. What was your gut reaction? Well, like the first 5 seconds when you kind of saw the news, how did you kind of take it initially?
My initial reaction was, sounds cool, but I'll believe it when I see it. I'm a little skeptical at this point, but hey, it's exciting that he was confident. So that is a good sign, I feel.
Right. And then, of course, I mean, we got Douglas Gresham to confirm later that, yeah, that's what we are intending to do.
That sounds like that's not a firm yes, but it's, you know, it's helpful.
It's not a no.
This is
it's
true.
Not a no. And for now, that's what, you know, we'll take it at this point, having a not a no. But no, but seriously, the fact that it was a couple months ago that Gresham said, we're going to start pre-production early this year. And now a couple months have gone by. Okay, we're targeting filming later this year and we want the late 2018 release date. It is good to hear that. It was cool to Gresham to respond to our question and kind of clarify that a bit. But initially when William Moseley said it was like, hey, what would William Moseley know exactly? Why would he say this? What was your reaction, Dot, when you first read it?
My reaction was basically just whatever. Like, maybe he knows something, maybe he doesn't. We've heard speculation and rumor for so long. It's hard to take anything that's not an official statement totally seriously.
But it's hard to resist the temptation to do that when we've had so
true.
Little.
True.
But yeah, and my first reaction was, okay, what would William Moseley know? He was an actor in the first 3 movies, and he doesn't have, as far as we know, he's not going to have a role, if they follow the book, he won't have a role in this movie, so what would he possibly know? But again, when you read the text, that's most people's reaction, I think. But then when you listen to it, he talks about it like a thing beyond doubt. His tone is, the Silver Chair is coming out late next year, boom. It's going to be released. And so that's the only thing that made me go, maybe this is legitimate. Maybe he could have heard something. Of course, we still don't know exactly what he heard or why he said that. But Gresham did say, you know, and I quote, that is certainly what I hope to achieve with movies. You never know, but I would very much like to have this be the case. So it looks like that's going to be, it looks like, well, we have to wait and see. If it's not official, but we're going to wait and see how it pans out. The fact that this is all coming hot on the heels of William Moseley also saying that this isn't all that surprising, but he would love to return to play Peter again if given the chance. Hopefully not in the Silver Chair.
Yes, please no.
But that they could find a way to do a flashback, flash forward, whatever, I guess, or maybe have some kind of dream scene where Jill wonders what it would be like if she had never been born. What would life be like with her cousins? I don't know.
Oh, or another trailer scene.
Not cousins, sorry. That was Eustace as the cousin. Yeah, wow. Yeah. Big mistake like that. On the
wow, Glumpuddle. Wow.
sorry. Maybe I'll edit that out. Well, if you're hearing this, you know I didn't. But how nice was it what was your guys' reaction to seeing his enthusiasm, starting with you, Dot? The fact that he said, would you want to come back as Peter Pevensie? And he said, 100%. Like, basically, do you think he was a good Peter? And how would you feel if he was recast?
I wouldn't hate it if he was recast, but I like his enthusiasm, and that's always good for a role that the actor wants to be there. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't think I would miss him very much, but he did a good job with the scripts he was given, so mm-hmm. it would work.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Mel?
Yeah, I guess I can't really imagine replacing him at this point, so having him want to come back is a good thing. But, I mean, I guess if he were recast and they convinced me on that, I'd be okay with it. But,
no, okay, that's interesting.
At this point, yeah, I think William Moseley is a good fit for the character, so having him
interesting.
Excited is good.
Yeah, I think the three of us are probably more open than most Narnia Webbers to recasting. I think most people are just... okay, new director, maybe, you know, new writer, new this, new that, just fine. New actor, no, they got to have the same cast. Yeah, I'm definitely more open to recasting in general if they really are better. That's what it comes down to. If they really find a better actor, I'm fine with that. I would say if I heard that someone else was going to play Lucy, that would be more disappointing because Georgie Henley made such an impression on me that. And this is a high, high compliment. When I read the book now, I sort of picture a blonde Georgie Henley as Lucy. So, like, that would be more like, no, she's Lucy. But then there's also, like, Skander Keynes. I think he was the best actor in the first three movies. But I'd still be open. I think he was just a really great performance.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, oh, that's Edmund. It wasn't like, I'd still be open to, if they can find a better actor that can play Edmund, I'd be fine with that.
Right, yeah.
So I'm a little more open to that. Like, how? Where do you guys land on the recasting Will Poulter thing? How about you, Mel?
Getting
a sense for how you guys feel about recasting.
Yeah, if Will Poulter, I liked him in Voyage of the Dawn Treader. I guess at this point, I don't see how he can play Eustace in Silver Chair. But if he could, I'd be okay with that. But since I don't see that working, I guess at this point, I'm resigned to having a new actor in the role. So.
Resign to it. Okay. How about you, Dot?
I think I'm in the minority of people because I didn't really like Will Poulter as Eustace. I thought he was too comedic for the role. It was too slapstick, which may have been more the fault of the script or the director, but I am totally 100% okay with someone else playing Eustace.
Yeah, I guess since I have Dot here to back me up, I'll go ahead and say, yeah, I thought he did good as Eustace, but I don't think it was, I don't quite think it was the home run everyone makes it out to be. That's not something, a lot of fans seem to have that reaction of, no, like Will Poulter can't play Eustace, this is the end of the world, and I see a lot of, well, why even make Silver Chair? They'd have to recast Eustace, and it would be terrible. So I think he did a fine job with the script and the story he was given. But again, I'm open to someone else being able to do it better. But yeah, I think most of the people that loved Will Poulter will admit he's too old now. He's in his mid-20s at this point, I think, now. And if you've seen a recent clip of him, you know that it probably wouldn't work.
Yeah, he does not look like a teenager anymore.
Unless they have the budget of unless they can spend half their budget digitally de-aging him.
I think that would just look weird. I want the money spent somewhere else. Hire somebody who can play the role.
Exactly. It would probably come out looking weird. And even if it didn't, that's like a bajillion dollar that I'd rather have spent on something else.
Yeah. I mean, he's such a major character in the book that, you know, you'd have to redo every single scene with him. And it's just not worth it.
It's not worth it. Yeah. Totally not practical. Will Poulter is no Carrie Fisher. But since we're talking about age, looking forward kind of to the future of the series, Will Moseley, not Poulter, Will Moseley is open to coming back, presumably. He only talks about the last battle. He seems to know that Peter is mentioned in The Horse and His Boy, but doesn't technically make an appearance. But, you know, there's no reason he couldn't make an appearance. We're pretty open to maybe seeing Peter actually appearing in The Horse and His Boy?
Yep, I would be fine with that. Well... conditionally. I mean, it depends on what kind of scene they're putting him in. But, I mean, yeah, as a general rule, if they have a scene of him at Cair Paravel, that'd be cool.
Yeah, I just don't want him in Tashban because that's really Edmund and Susan's moment. But like, if he leads the charge down to Anvard, that could work.
Okay. So Will Mosley is currently 29. He's actually going to celebrate his 30th birthday in a few weeks, and Peter is 27, according to the official Narnia timeline. He's 27 in The Horse and His Boy, and he's 22 in The Last Battle, which means, okay, let's say the Silver Chair releases a year and a half from now, so Will Mosley will be 30. Let's just say they start filming and he's 31. So he's only about 5 years old assuming they make The Horse and His Boy next. If they don't, maybe he's more like 35. And he's 22 in The Last Battle. So if you wanted to do it, if you're really concerned about age, you might want to film The Last Battle first, where he's 22, and then film Horse and His Boy next when he's 27. But does that even matter? Like, how concerned are you guys, starting with you, Dot, how concerned are you guys about age, and how much do you think that should affect which movie, their production schedule, and which movie they make next?
When it comes to the adult characters, I'm not really all that concerned about it. Mm-hmm. And I guess I just always assumed that if the actors were in both Horse and His Boy and The Last Battle, then they'd do Horse and His Boy first. So, of course, they'd be older in The Last Battle. It's having a 30-year-old play a 27-year-old is a completely different situation than having a 25-year-old play a 15-year-old.
That's a good point. Yeah, although you do see that occasionally.
Ben
Barnes is 25, wasn't he? Ben Barnes is 25 and playing someone who you kind of got the sense was in his mid to late teens.
Yeah, it didn't work. It did not work.
It did not work.
I thought it worked barely. It was one of, like, in terms of a movie, it's like, okay, I know he's not really 16 or 17, but I'll go with it. I didn't think it was egregious, but it was a stretch.
We'll go with it. It's a stretch.
It felt more right in Don Shredder, I think.
Yeah.
But,
of course, that might have been the accent too.
That helped. Like losing the Thelmarine accent helped a lot of things. But what movie do you think they should make after The Silver Chair? Like for me, the Will Mosley's age, like actors' ages, I don't think matters to me hardly at all. When you're talking about The Last Battle and The Horse and His Boy, Horse and His Boy in particular, it's like, okay, maybe they'll be a little too old than they were in the flash forward at the end of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I tend to not care too much about continuity anyway. It's like, whatever, just make this movie the best you can and don't be shackled by continuity too much. So for me, it's like actors' ages is really low on my list. I mean, it's different than something like Harry Potter, where seeing them 1 year at a time feels like it's kind of an important... I hate comparing it to Harry Potter because I would like the Narnia movies to be a lot better than the Harry Potter movies. I think it's just, it deserves better than just a simple summer blockbuster treatment. There, I said it. But it's a good comparison because in the Harry Potter books, it's actually important to the story that we see them 1 year at a time. We see them grow up and they're out of school. That's kind of a really, it would fundamentally feel really different if they were to say, oh, it's every 2 years or every 3 years.
Right. Because
you want to see him grow up. Whereas with Narnia, I don't think it matters that much, especially like you said, Dot, they're adults, so it doesn't really make much difference.
Right.
So what film, if that's not much of a factor, what movie should they make after The Silver Chair? Maybe I'll start with you, Mel. There's a poll on the homepage right now. Or actually, I'm going to change that soon. It's going to end today. I'm going to change that poll to something else. Go to narniaweb.com, scroll down on the right. You'll see a poll asking how you feel about the possibility of how would you feel if they were recast. You can vote on that. But the poll that's been going for a while is which film should they make after The Silver Chair? And The Horse and His Boy got 51% of the vote. In second place was The Magician's Nephew with 33%. And finally, The Last Battle with 15%. So, Mel... which one do you feel they should make after The Silver Chair?
My personal preference would be for Horse and His Boy because it's the publication order. And that's also the one that I'm really looking forward to seeing. I think that would just be...
That's a Narnia Fan 7 on the forum said that, oh, I just wanted to stick to publication order, basically. What do you think, Dot?
I want to do The Horse and His Boy next. I mean, as much as I love Publication Order, it's not really related to that. I just, the last battle has to be last. And I like the way, I like having Magician's Nephew right before last battle, because you set up the beginning and then the end. Horse and His Boy just doesn't really fit any of the timelines. There's no smooth way to put it. So putting it in between Silverchair and Magician's Nephew just seems to make the most sense at this point.
Yeah, in terms of the story, I don't know. I think it might be weird to essentially take a commercial break from the story and do The Horse and His Boy next. I might also feel that way about Magician's Nephew. I mean, I'm all in favor of... I love the idea of sticking to the original publication order. I just like that idea, obviously.
Right.
It's really difficult when you're telling people... No, I'm not weird. Don't follow the number that's on the spines. This order is way better. People look at you kind of funny, but when I say, oh, this is the order they make the movies in, suddenly it seems to give it a little more legitimacy. Like, oh, okay, maybe this isn't a crazy, weird, nerdy guy. I mean, I am, but now you can actually take kind of seriously what I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
So in terms of story continuity, The Last Battle is kind of the logical sequel to The Silver Chair in a lot of ways. It continues Jill and Eustace. Horse and His Boy might seem a little bit weird to, like, essentially take a break. Okay, let's do this little side story with the Pevensies. Okay, now let's do a prequel. Okay, now let's finish. Let's go back to Jill and Eustace.
Well, consider it like the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Some of them are in order and some of them are prequels.
Right, but most people, like, how many people, even that is like, and again, we're comparing Narnia to being like a summer blockbuster. I'd like the Narnia movies to be... to do better than just being like summer blockbustery kind
right,
of thing.
Yeah.
But it's a good example. Because even with that, you have Thor 1, Thor 2, Thor 3, Iron Man 1, 2, and 3. That's a little, then they come together occasionally, but they still have their distinctive, you know, here's the through line. Whereas this might kind of break that through line. Maybe that would be cool. Maybe that would be different. I know that Coracle said Horse and His Boy should be next because it has the original Pevensies, and that would bring audiences back, which would probably mean that might work if they gave the Pevensies much bigger roles in The Horse and His Boy.
Yeah.
And use them a lot in trailers and such. How does that kind of rub you guys? What do you think, Dot, of giving the Pevensies bigger roles and maybe including them a lot in the trailer?
I think including them a lot in the trailers makes sense just from a marketing standpoint. They're the familiar characters. Seeing them older could be a big draw. As for the story, it's Shasta and Erebus' story. I really want it to stay their story. So I'm kind of conflicted on more Pevensey time.
Okay. Now, I remember in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader, of course, we saw the four Pevenseys, and they ended up... there was that one shot of them walking towards the camera they filmed that ended up... which they probably just filmed for the trailer.
I remember there was a whole lot of discussion about that. Like, how does that fit into the story? It was good discussion fodder.
It doesn't.
But, yeah.
Yeah, it gave us something to talk about. So there you go. But I think what makes The Horse and His Boy cool is that the Pevensies are kind of side characters. And it's neat to see them from that perspective. So I wouldn't want them to water down what makes The Horse and His Boy interesting in the first place. And in terms of marketing, I would love them to minimize the Pevensies as much as possible and make it a surprise. When they show up in the story, I think that would be really cool because it's kind of in the book, you're reading it, and it's like, what does this have to do with anything? And then all of a sudden the Pevensies come into it, and just like that, you have context.
Right.
So I think that I would hope they would keep that. But as far as which one's next, I think which movie to make next, I think here's what I think will happen. If the Silver Chair, there's a few different scenarios here. Either the Silver Chair bombs, or it's a huge success, or it's a moderate success. If it bombs, no more Narnia movies, very likely. If it's a huge success, like wins Oscars, does great box office, great, you know, everybody loves it, then I think they say, okay, people love this movie, people responded really well to these characters, to Jill and Eustace, let's make The Silver Chair 2, which is the last battle, basically, as close as you get to The Silver Chair 2.
Right.
But if The Silver Chair is a moderate success, it does really well, it justifies a sequel, but it's not a phenomenon, I think they say, okay, it deserves a sequel, but it doesn't have to be another Silver Chair, basically. Maybe we do something like The Magician's Nephew, A Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe prequel. Hey, discover the origin of the wardrobe. That's kind of their marketing hook.
Right.
So I think they'd probably do that next. Or they just make The Horse and His Boy the Pevensey story, possibly. But I think either way, we're likely to see The Horse and His Boy made last. Just because a sequel to The Silver Chair, which would be The Last Battle, or a prequel to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe would be easier to market.
Sadness, but I get your point.
What's sad about me? Like, when the DVDs are on your shelf, ultimately, you can arrange them in whatever order you want. And when you have your binge-watching marathon, you can watch them in whatever order you want, can't you?
This is true. It's just prequels don't necessarily generate the same amount of excitement as sequels. And I've always thought Horse and His Boy would make the best film out of all seven Narnia books.
Interesting.
So once you get to The Last Battle, and if you've already done The Magician's Nephew, like, if it feels like you're just trying to make more money on the success, if you're not familiar with the books, kind of like with Fantastic Beasts. Oh, they're just drawing more on Harry Potter.
Uh-huh. That's true. I guess I can't pretend it makes no... I know I was saying, oh, you can put the DVDs in whatever order you want, but... I mean, it could affect it in some ways. Like Reapercheap775 on the forum said that, pointed out that one downside of doing Last Battle before Horse and His Boy is that means you haven't cast Shasta, Erebus, Huin, Bree, and all them, so they probably wouldn't be in it. Doing the reunion scene at the end would be really, really tricky. It'll be tricky as it is to get all those actors back and everything. And then that would mean if you make The Last Battle first, you also haven't cast Polly. And all that. So it would make doing that tricky. It's not like... Now, Father Time, if they follow the book, will be set up in the Silver Chair, at least. So they'll have that element of it. But I guess I can't sit here and pretend like, it doesn't make any difference what order they do them in, because they can just watch them in whatever order you want.
Well,
no, it could have an impact.
Horse and His Boy is basically the introduction to the Calormans.
That's true. That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of that. If they do The Last Battle after Silver Chair, then that will be the first time we see Calormans, and that will be the beginning of introducing Tash and all that, which I don't know if that would be a bad thing. It would be different, though. It would affect how they do things.
Yeah.
It's interesting you said The Horse and His Boy has the greatest potential as a movie. Why don't you go into a little bit of why you think... I wanted to go over, which of the remaining books do you guys think has the most potential as a movie? So why do you think it's The Horse and His Boy?
The way it's written, it's a very straightforward plot line. It's a very familiar sort of plot line. And for the most part, it follows a hero's journey type of story and ends with the big epic battle that you expect in fantasy films.
Mm-hmm.
So it has the potential to be a really great fantasy film without dramatically changing the structure of the story, like Don Treader was.
And Prince Caspian in particular, yeah.
Yeah.
Really had to move it around. What do you think, Mel? Which of the remaining, like after The Silver Chair, which of the remaining books do you think has the most potential to be a movie? Yeah, good movie.
Well, I'd like to say all of them, because that's what I really want to see.
Oh, how Douglas Gresham, yes. Politically safe answer.
Yes, it
for
is.
You.
No, actually, I think cinematically, I think Magician's Nephew has the most potential to look really good on the big screen. Obviously, I said Horse and His Boy is the one I want to see next. But yeah, I think Magician's Nephew is the one that'll have the big scenes that you'll go, wow, that was what I was imagining when I was reading the book. That's what's really cool.
Okay, most potential, that's true. Like, if they could really deliver, which it's a tall order, I think, to deliver on Lewis's description of creation at the end. I'm not sure. I know it's not The Last Battle. Last Battle, I don't know what they're going to do with it. I agree that The Horse and His Boy has the more straightforward story in terms of film. I don't know what they're going to do about the talking horses, though, like, they're not just horses, they're real characters that have to constantly interact with child actors. So technically, it's like, wow. That, I guess both of them, I would say, have the technical challenges with The Magician's Nephew, visualizing creation and all that. But Horse and His Boy has the more straightforward story. Then again, the emotion of The Magician's Nephew with Diggory and his mother could work really well. I guess I would lean towards the Horse and His Boy, I guess, as having potential to be a better movie. They just have to figure out a way to solve that the technical challenge of talking horses, basically.
Well, Magician's Nephew has even more talking animals in it. I mean, there are fewer scenes, but there's more of them.
That's true, but with The Horse and His Boy, I think having it all throughout the movie, where you have a character that has to constantly interact with Erebus and Shasta, two of them, I think it's a taller order. Because, I mean, even the way they've done Aslan in the first three movies, yeah, he's there, but it's different when you're, I think it's different when you're in there all throughout the movie and you don't just want to be like a monster or a creature. Like, they're just one of the characters. And they need to have, you can't just, they're not just horses. They have personality and they have scenes they play with them where the dialogue and they're rubbing each other the wrong way and there's humor, a little bit of humor. Maybe they argue with each other. And so I think it, in terms of acting and performance, and that's what the whole movie kind of rests on. You know, the interaction between the Pevensies and Aslan is very important, but I don't feel like the whole movie rested on it. Whereas The Horse and His Boy, that's what it, that if you don't get the relationships right,
then there goes your movie. The movie isn't going to be as enjoyable if you have to go, oh, the horse is talking again.
Right.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Not that there aren't moments like that in Magician's Nephew, like when Aslan's crying about Diggory's mother. Yeah, that's really important. They get that. But that's not all throughout the movie. Okay, then, enough of that. Let's stump a Narnie Weber. This is something we're going to be doing at the end of very regularly, I guess at the end of every episode. We are going to see if we can test the limits of Narnie Weber knowledge. And you, the listener, are going to submit questions and try to stump us. Today, we're going to be trying to stump Mel. Congratulations, Mel. Or perhaps not congratulations. We'll find out. I may have been a bit premature. Let's see here. So the way this is going to work is, Mel, I'm going to ask you a trivia question shortly related to Narnia or C.S. Lewis. If you get it right, you will get 3 points. And we'll tally these over time, make a competition out of it. But if you have to blow Queen Susan's horn and get some help, then you only get 1 point. If you do blow Queen Susan's horn, you can either get multiple choice, in which case I'll give you 3 possible answers, or I can give you 30 seconds to look up the answer in the book. So, Mel, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, your question is, what is Bree's actual name? His full name.
Yeah, okay, so,
What is Bree's actual name? Of course, Shasta says, what do I call you? And Bree tells him his name, and Shasta says, can I just call you Bree?
Yeah.
So can you tell me Bree's actual name?
Let's see. Can I remember all the syllables? And or should I go for the book and read it out? All right, I'll go for it. I will give you my best shot at telling you what Bree's real name is.
Okay.
All right, it is Bree Winnehuiha.
I'm afraid that is not quite correct. It's not quite close enough. Needed another syllable. The actual answer is Breehee Hinny Binny. Hoo-hee-ha. I feel like you were missing, the sense of it, but you're missing a couple syllables.
Close, but it is hard to speak horse.
I haven't practiced lately, so I can't say for sure, but I imagine it's really difficult. But yeah, that was a particularly difficult one, and Mel, appreciate going for broke, not wanting to blow Queen Susan's horn and just give it a shot.
Yes, and I'm not a horse.
But so Mel was stumped today, but you're going to get another chance possibly in a couple weeks. So listeners, if you think you can stump a Narnie Weber, you can submit an idea for a trivia question to podcast@narnieweb.com. Please include stump in the subject, but don't include the answer, just include the question. Look for a new episode on Monday, April 17th. That's where we're going to be posting a new episode every 2 weeks. If you're listening, we want this to be your podcast. We want you to drive the content. So please post a comment below or post in the NarniWeb.com discussion forum. We're always looking for great ideas for topics and great user content to highlight. NarniWeb is also on Facebook and Twitter. You can also email us at podcast@NarniWeb.com. Or if you want to email us individually, you can email glumpuddle@NarniWeb.com, mel@NarniWeb.com, or dot@NarniWeb.com. Thank you so much. Further up and further in.